You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
There have been two moments in my life when I was happiest. The first was the day I met Josh.
I'm Josh.
I'm Iris. And the second, the day I killed him.
Just relax. Remember to smile and act happy. Do they know?
Iris, wake up.
What are you doing?
Shut her down already.
What is she talking about, Josh?
This was not part of the plan.
I didn't mean to.
Did you jailbreak your sex pod?
Wow, Josh. The days of you controlling me are over.
Are you breaking up with me?
It's not you. It's me.
Yeah, she's tied up inside, so she's not going anywhere.
Eli, Iris.
Shh, baby, get her on the phone.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion and I am joined by Quinny, Jill and Peter. And tonight we're going to be hanging out with each other. We're going to be offering our services to each other in a way that's much like Doctor Who and not the other way. We're all going to be companions, you know.
Oh,
to each other, but not companions as in the way from this trailer you just saw, which was amazing. Anyway.
Okay, so you're talking about Doctor Who companions back in like the 60s and 70s where it was entirely sexless.
Yeah.
And everybody was just a bunch of friends hanging out together in a magical box.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Yes, go with it.
That's how that sounds. Yeah, absolutely. And also it's bigger here on the inside than it is on the outside, which is the internet. Do you get it?
Oh, right.
Yeah. I don't know. Just trying to stay in the companion way. Anyway, how you're going?
I enjoyed that most.
That's funny because my grandparents used to live on a street called Companion Way, so it just worked on so many levels.
Oh wow!
Right.
Okay. The thing I enjoy the most is looking and seeing the slightly confused look on both Peter and Jill's face get progressively more confused as things go.
I mean, at this stage, I just kind of let it wash over me. Just a stone in the stream.
the stream that is Dion's analogies.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just trying to get the show rolling, okay?
Okay, cool.
We're just
stream of consciousness. Let's just be a little poo stick and ride that stream all the way.
Sure, down for it. That sounds great. I'm loving it. Look, you know, with the state of the world that we're currently going, I'm just trying to get through each day. Okay, Quinny? I'm just trying to get through each day. Every announcement comes at a new, fresh hell.
Doesn't it, though?
The question is it clear yet what we're actually talking about?
No.
Because I feel like we haven't quite got there.
No, definitely not.
We're talking about a film today. A film that we got to see last week.
That's
released in Australia by Warner Brothers, which is quite good in the cinemas. And we got to see it and it was fun. And now you can go and see it too in the cinemas. And you know what? It's worth going.
And it's called Companion.
Says you.
Says you.
That's a big sweeping statement for all of us, Dion.
Yeah. Yep.
Gonna tell the lovely ladies here exactly what their opinions are too?
Sure, that's gonna go down very well across. not like that has ever hurt anyone whatsoever.
Especially not the people in this movie.
No, exactly. That's the point. This one was actually kind of fun because I didn't know much going into it, and I quite enjoyed the fact that I didn't know much, and it was much better than I expected.
Yeah, I think I actually enjoyed that I forgot I had seen the trailer months and months ago. So I got a nice little surprise when I watched it and had a really good time.
Because this is the thing that I kind of came away from with it going, God, I think it would be fascinating to see the film knowing nothing. Like, which I know to all of our wonderful people who are here tonight, you have
just seen the trailer.
Yeah, just seen the trailer. And therefore you cannot have the experience of seeing it not knowing anything. And we appreciate you being in our chat and being in our podcast nonetheless. Yeah. But I did have a thought partway through of going, this would be a fucking great left turn mind fuck of a movie.
Sure.
If you didn't know the core concept.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it takes a lot to go to a movie not even having read the one line synopsis. So I don't think a lot of people are going to it not knowing the core concept, because that's all I went into it with. I was like, what the frick is this movie that these guys want me to see?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I did see the trailer months ago, but the thing that sold me was from the creators of Barbarian. I'm like, well, you've sold me. I fucking love Barbarian. Yeah. I'm here for it. Like, whatever you've got, give it to me.
Yeah. Zach Kroeger, who did Barbarian, which Jill and I got to go see, was it last year or the year before, maybe?
I think it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
But that was one of those ones where, like, we don't know what this is. And we went in there and went, holy fucking shit, that's that is definitely a film that was. Again, one of those ones where, like, I don't know what this one is. Holy, that was good. That's great. That's why they sort of forefronted this one. I'm like, hey, do you remember Barbarian? And people are like, oh, yeah, I saw that film. And then, like, oh, they've got a new one. And it's like, oh, cool. I'll go, sure, why not? And I got to say, didn't disappoint me as a personal person. It didn't disappoint me, not speaking on behalf of everyone else. Apparently, I have to say
Thank you. Yeah. No, it also did not disappoint me either.
Yeah, good. Excellent.
No, I just think that the only reason I said that you were responding for the ladies is because the thematic things that go throughout the entire film are very much about that.
Yes,
I know. So I thought it was amusement.
I got that, Quinny. I picked up on it.
Sorry. Would you like me to explain my jokes to you anymore?
Sure. Would you like to explain the movie to everyone just because you're the other man with a beard in this podcast, so you should do it?
Wow. Jesus Christ. I can, but the synopsis is incredibly short.
Look, Quitty, you don't have to worry about the synopsis. You just have to do it in Sergei's accent.
Oh, no.
I can't even remember. I mean, the name gives you a hint.
It's pretty easy.
But the my shit Russian starts and stops with our mythical lawyers Bolzen and Dimitri. So
Well, I've got some music for you.
Got music?
Should I put a bit of a music track underneath there?
Yeah, love it. Okay. Yeah. A billionaire's death sets off a chain of events for Iris and her friends during a weekend trip to his lakeside estate. This weekend getaway turns bloody and violent when a subservient android that's built for human companionship goes haywire. It's not Sergei, it's just generic shit Russian.
I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to say Eastern European because that's just terrible to Russians.
They'll cope.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
It's like,
so, yes, that was that. To be honest, that was actually two synopsizes kind of combined into one because they're really fucking short.
Sure.
They're a sentence each. So there you go.
But that's definitely the gist of the movie.
Yeah. It's funny. When I first read the synopsis, I was like, not sure about the important aspect of the billionaire thing, the billionaire's death. Because I didn't imagine Sergei as being a billionaire, to be honest.
Yeah, but we just like that idea.
He wasn't, and why are we sympathising with billionaires?
Yeah.
We're not.
It's just a nice feeling for everyone else at the moment.
Yes. Yes. This is a movie about killing a billionaire. It's fine.
Yeah. How do we rewrite that synopsis then? Femme Luigi sets revenge on... Wow. Come on.
I'm down for it.
Down for it. Look, you know, who have we got in there? We've got Sophie Thatcher, as we all know from...
Or a.k.a. your favourite character from the Boba Fett series.
Yeah, as we all remember very fondly as Drash, one of the mod bikers, or sorry, swoop racers, from the Book of Boba Fett. Or, you know, from Yellow Jackets. I don't know, that's a small, boring...
Or from TV Heretic show. That we saw last year.
Yeah, or from Heretic that we saw. We've also got Jack Quaid playing the worst Boimler. Lucas Gage, Megan Suri, Harvey Gillian, not a vampire or vampire hunter, strangely. and Rupert Friend, which is great. I mean, I haven't seen him since the other Star Wars show, Obi-Wan, where he played the Grand Inquisitor.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize him at all.
I know. Anyway, there's not a lot of Star Wars references in this.
So your rating's going down?
Yeah, two stars.
Rapidly. Two stars, not enough Star Wars.
Yeah.
So what did we think? Because I know I thought, but I'm very, very keen to hear what you both of you ladies have to say about it.
I really liked it. Because, yeah, I forgot about the whole Android thing. So when that happened, I was like, whoa! I'm like, oh, no. And, yeah, it was really great. I thought the twists were fun. And, yeah, the throwing a slasher rom-com trope on its head by introducing androids into the mix was different.
Did you find
a fun time?
Did you find that, like, I mean, I also kind of want to say this to everyone who may not see it just yet. The whole thing that she's an android is kind of covered very rapidly in the film. So, but there are more twists that like to come out of that. Like, you sound like you had something to say there, Peter, or did you find that not good?
Accurate. Oh no, I mean the poster artwork. And like I said, most of the synopses online kind of give away that one of the party is a companion robot. So for me, that wasn't a fun twist. That was just, you know, when are they going to officially reveal this? Because that, like, we know that this is what's happening. I didn't find many of the twists particularly
twisty.
Oh. Most of them I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. Cool. Thanks for letting me know.
Okay, well, Peter's more intelligent than the rest of us.
No, it's not.
Do you think that
it's
maybe...
It's not that. It's maybe... that if you kind of know the first one because the film is advertised on the basis of the first one, then you're looking for the signs of the other ones and perhaps picked them up earlier than if you've forgotten the first one and wasn't, you know, looking, you know, already kind of... tracking tells in the plot that were breadcrumbing for the other ones.
Right. Do you think maybe you've got your intelligence meter ranked too high?
I think
there,
Peter's intelligence is jacked up to 100.
Yeah. I think it always has been.
Yeah.
I think this is like one of these situations where, like, I don't want to be mean because I've read like lots of people having a good time in this and I had a significantly less good time than most.
Destroy us, Peter. Do it.
Yes, come on. Do it. Get the knife out and turn your aggression meter all the way up.
We're here. Kill me. Come on.
Come on.
I mean, you guys know it's not my genre. There were some really, like, gross, violent bits that, you know, whatever, like, I can cope with, but it's not, like, my preferred form of entertainment. And I just, like, I don't know if... In terms of like cabin in the woods thrillers, I kind of felt it was a little bit kind of stock standard and maybe thought that it was doing more than it was. I had a lot more fun in Bodies, 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 which was a similar style than I had in this, which, you know, I guess plays as a fugil because we saw Bodies, Bodies, Bodies together. Yeah. And it wasn't like amazing, but like I had fun.
Yeah.
You know, I had fun in that just because it was kind of like, this is a ride. That you know, this is a ride that kind of knows what it's saying and it kind of knows how seriously to take itself. I think that Companion maybe takes itself and the point that it's trying to make a little too seriously and maybe thinks that it's cleverer than it is. And then I had to look at a lot of violent things.
Oh.
Okay.
I never thought that we'd really get to the point in history where we start thinking about, brunette android murders a bunch of people. But we do have. We have, like, Ex Machina. Yes. Another one. Actually, no, it's brunette android murders a bunch of misogynists as a trope.
As a genre, as a trope.
Yeah, sure. I never really thought we'd get there, but we are here.
Look, that's entirely a fair reading, Pete. And, you know, like, what I enjoyed about it, I could see that other people probably wouldn't. You know, I found myself laughing an awful lot, not at the violence or anything like that, but at how much of a dick the characters were being, specifically Jack Quaid's character. Like, it's almost like it's a film that is written for progressive dudes to go, hey, look how shit some of your friends are. And, you know, isn't it funny? And I could see I laughed a lot, but at the same time, I recognize that it's probably not funny to a lot of people. I watched a video recently of a girl on a date with some dude, and she started recording the date, and holy shit, the guy was a fucking idiot, but like an aggressive asshole, and was, you know, this is an hour into their first date, and he's trying to control her and telling her how she should be and what she should do. And I'm watching this going, oh, that's not funny. That's just what's out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess maybe this is coming from the privilege of the position of somebody who goes, well, at least I'm not that deathly silence.
That had also something to do with the fact you dropped off significantly there because you need to pedal faster with your internet, Queenie.
Fuck.
Yeah, I know, right? Isn't it terrible?
We're just waiting for the point to finish in the pieces that it was coming in.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Like, on my end, it looks fine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No.
Everything was 100% fine.
We're all hunky-dory. It's just, you know, we have the best scotch-taped and WD-40 internet that Australian government can provide. this is a question I'd like to ask for everyone, really. It's like, what do you think about using this as a companion piece with the Ryan Gosling film Lars and the Real Girl?
I rewatched Lars and the Real Girl recently, and it is a fabulous little film. I don't think that I would put these next to each other in any way, shape or form. They are completely different. One is a study of loneliness and community, and the other one is a cabin in the woods slasher with big capital letter feminism plot points that are valid but not subtle.
Yes. Yeah. Those are very valid points. You know what? Like, you're really starting to tarnish my view of the movie.
Sorry. But you're allowed to have fun. You're allowed to have fun.
I know, and I did, and I did. And now I can look constructively at it and say, look, yes, I was coming at it from the perspective of, oh, it's a rom-com movie, but it's got horror tropes attached to it. It's not a horror movie with rom-com tropes. I was from the other perspective, you know. But, like, at the same time, yes, I can see that all of these toxic stereotypes that are being covered in this movie have all been done before, like, more poignantly and more nuanced in other movies to not just say, oh, look at us pointing at this again. Like, haha, isn't this terrible? Like, we all go through it. Sorry, 50% of the population all go through it. And yeah, it's probably a bit heavy-handed when it comes to the simile that it's portraying in the film. But at the same time, you get the beautiful retribution of, like, murdering these fucking assholes.
Yes.
And that was the enjoyable part.
Yes,
sure.
But seeing a guy come undone by his own stupidity and lack of foresight and probably just general intelligence about how the piece of machinery that he owns operates, yeah, it says a lot more about what I enjoyed than just him getting his comeuppance.
Mm.
I just like seeing somebody flounder in their own idiocy.
Sure, and, which is probably why you really like this podcast, Jill. I understand.
Floundering in our own idiocy.
Yes, talking about Quiddy and I floundering in our own idiocy.
Yep.
Honestly.
Oh, yeah. I'm floundering and pedaling in my own. I can see that. I really enjoyed Jack Quaid's role in it because he played it well. And what I think for me is that he was very believable in that whole, I'm not a bad guy. You know, that whole entitlement of, I think that, you know, this is normal for me. I should be able to just have a robot girlfriend who does whatever I want. I earned it because I worked hard. And, you know, complete lack of awareness of any privilege or any kind of, privilege more than anything, bias. No self-awareness whatsoever. And I enjoyed that, seeing that pulled apart.
Yeah.
It was, that kind of stuff I enjoyed. I had a lot of fun. I laughed a lot. I enjoyed hearing like other people laughing at other sections and then laughing at something and then realizing, oh, I'm the only one laughing at that. That's not.
I think another thing I really got on board with the most was sympathizing with the android characters. I really felt they were the heroes of the story, and I felt so bad for what happens later on in the film that I'm not going to spoil, but it was kind of like a sad love story from the perspective of an android.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's one thing that you could say about it. Not like this is a new part, Peter, just so you know. I feel like I'll agree with Jill's notice that it's about, it has more to do with what does the android actually feel about all this?
Yeah.
You know, that was a new twist. How does that work?
What's a new twist?
Do androids love?
Have you seen like any movie about androids ever?
No, I watched like half of Blade Runner.
Do they have electric sheep?
Yes. Apparently they do.
Yeah, they do. They.
Yeah, watch... like you referenced Ex Machina before, and like that's kind of the whole point of the film is the fucking Turing test on. But she, android.
But she doesn't. She does not love. Hey, well,
an entire series called Humans that I'm always mentioning. I don't know if any of you have ever watched it.
No. It sounds like it's sort of British, so it'd be very boring. Just trying to teach robots how to have tea.
It's a little study of this exact question.
I mean, yeah, I feel like it was presented at least in an interesting way that it was like, oh, great, this is actually kind of fun. We're going to make the protagonist someone who's not really real and they have to discover all that and go through those motions and figure stuff out and while everyone around them treats them like a toaster, which is kind of funny and also terrible because it's like, this is why you be nice to things. Like, it doesn't matter if it doesn't have what you would consider, like, it's not an object. If you make something that replicates a person, it's not an object, or is it? You know, we did a lot of that in Westworld, and that is also one of the.
Also, what I did enjoy is the fact that, like, you watch this and you see the way that he treats the Iris, and you know, for the first 20 minutes of the film or whatever, it's not made explicit that she's a robot, and. There's a lot of people who treat their partner exactly that, like that. You know, the condescension, the just smile and get through it. The, you know, even the thing of Iris, go to sleep. You know, that kind of dismissive bullshit that, you know, totally undermines the humanity of the other person. It's interesting when it is applied to a person who happens to be synthetic. because it echoes all of those things that happen to real people. Mm. But has it been covered before? Yes, you're probably right.
I mean, the parallels, and that's, you know, but that is where it kind of knows what it's trying to say, even if it's not saying it quietly. The casting and the dynamics are quite good for that kind of relationship where perhaps a certain kind of person may choose a certain kind of person because they feel that they'll be easy to manipulate. They might choose somebody who looks maybe significantly younger than they are, who has kind of like a very, you know, slight, waifish, childish, you know, thing going on, that they may prefer somebody who is
manic,
less intelligent, because they're easier to manipulate. So it definitely, like, it certainly hits all of those. Yes, this is a textbook abusive power dynamic situation. But then it kind of takes it into such an unsubtle place that I kind of got annoyed with it by the end. Like, okay. At first I was like, okay, like, I see what you're doing here. This is, you know, like, I see what you're doing here. And then at the end I was like, come on. Like, well, no, because when you take it to such an extreme, you undermine the idea that it is actually really insidious and something that we see, and the reason people get away with it is because it's not extreme and obvious, is because it is insidious and they're able to maintain a position of being the rational one and being the good guy or girl, because these kinds of power dynamics can go in lots of ways. They more often go in one way. But yeah, well, when it kind of, you know, it kind of took it to an extreme that then kind of undermined that whole point to me, but I still understand what it was saying with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't go off the rails with its point. It just kind of made me a bit annoyed at the volume of the point.
Okay.
I felt like it was a good, like, you're talking about the nature of the insidious creeping kind of, like, that's how it works. Like, if you keep something underlying, you know,
more so that the people who abuse power in this way in these kinds of relationships tend to do so in a way where they look very controlled, and it's kind of sometimes hard to tell unless you really know.
Sure.
And that's what's insidious and scary about it.
And I guess the difference with this is that it pulls back that the sheen, because at no point in time, like at the point that the robot becomes just a robot and not a person, then there's no need for any of that layer of
pretense
or control or anything. It's like, well, fuck it, it's just a tool, and now I don't need to think of it as a person anymore, and I don't have to hide any of that. And yeah.
And that's where I it gets to the second thing that kind of just made me feel a little bit ick about it, is that then just a little bit feels like an excuse to have overtly violent scenes, which pits a very slight woman against people who are more physically powerful than her, and then we just get to see a whole lot of violence directed at a woman, which... which, again, it's the genre. That's fine. But just for me, who is not into the genre, I was just kind of like, ah, ick. I got the ick.
Fair enough. The ick came for me when I realised all of the when I was making that, saying that thing about being insidious, the society around it, when you get a bit of a glimpse into, because this is a very kind of bottle movie, which is group of people, remote area, don't interact much with anything else. So it's kind of good. It was done on the cheap, obviously. You could just hire something out and try and do it quickly. But when you get small glimpses into the society that is currently running, which is a kind of near future ideology, and just about how pervasive and dull these things are kind of presented out in the world, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, like these things are everywhere. People have done all sort of weird stuff to them. You're never going to believe it. And it's kind of banal. That's when I started, oh, that was a nice kind of twist. Like everything is very much like, oh, what's happening in this place? And they've done these things and it's this interaction between people. But when you start seeing just these little snippets of the outside world, you go, oh, wow, these things are just everywhere and pervasive and people are treating them terribly. And that's bad. Like, that's a bad society. They've gone down the wrong way. Come on, people.
Yeah.
Maybe I was reading too much into it.
No, I don't think so at all. I think that like there is definitely a whole, because all of these things are asking something of society. Like movies like this are asking a question. Is it okay? No, of course it's not okay. You know, what is the response to being marginalized? What is the response to being told that you're not a person, that you're not worthwhile, that you don't actually... that you don't matter because you're not really a thing. And yeah, there's a part of me that actually does think that probably would be interesting to see part of the rest of society, to see whether or not there's ever been a discussion anywhere else of whether or not these robots are considered to be people, because they clearly have emotions, they clearly have feelings, they have sensation. Sure, and there's an entire genre of fucking sci-fi about that. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to say the six words I hate the most, but at the end of the day, it's just a satirical rom-com slasher.
Yeah. Which is what I'm saying. If you had fun,
exactly,
it's done its job.
Yeah. It's not doing anything highbrow. It's taking some commentary that is everywhere at the moment, and it's having fun with it.
Yes.
And I was not primed to have fun with this, because I never have fun in this genre. I very rarely have fun in this genre.
At least,
so that's what happened there.
At least, Peter, it wasn't animated, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you were enjoying.
Yeah, it's not like we made you review The Animatrix or something.
if you put this in the same bucket as Megan, like, you're not going to sit there on a high horse with Megan and say, oh, but is it really saying the right things? Like, because it's quite obvious that it's
not
pulling fun at the genre. And so
I think for me, the difference is that it's pulling fun at the genre for sure, but it is very overtly trying to say something. So in that case, I think that it's valid to criticize or to consider, because it's asking you to consider. Like, it's inviting you to consider these things.
It's part of what it's doing
on purpose. The fact that I even had the thought process means that in some way it's been successful, because it's asking you to think about these things, and I have.
I don't think it was really trying to be anything constructive, but that's my opinion.
No, I think the main takeaway was like, hey, dudes are fucking cunts sometimes, hey.
Yeah. hey, girls, what about men?
Also, I mean, if you do want the deeper sort of stuff, there is a lot out there. The genre is, you know, chockers with stuff about meaningful questions of reality and stuff. If you want like the antithesis of this, you go and watch Her.
Gross.
Joaquin Phoenix and the voice of Scarlett Johansson, and just the misery that brings you. So, I laughed a lot.
Sounds good. Happy futures all around to everyone. That's what we say. Sure. Do you want to do a rating and then we'll do a clip and then talk about what we're doing for the rest of the month and stuff?
Yeah, sure.
Do we want to talk spoilers about this at all?
No.
Or should we leave
it? I don't want to ruin it for anyone. No. I mean, I feel like the biggest thing that kind of destroys the enjoyment of the movie is finding out that she's an android in the trailer. Like, that's a good surprise in the movie. So I don't really want to say anything
else. I don't know if it's deep enough to keep going to spoilers.
No.
Oh, no. I mean, there are twists and turns. Let's not ruin it.
Yeah. I mean, at least there were some twists and turns. Mm. You know, it could have just
I'm not saying there weren't. I'm just saying they didn't do it for me. That's all.
I mean, has anyone gone back and watched Friday the 13th again, like the first one? There's no social commentary in there. It's just stabbing kids.
It's, if you have sex, you're a bad person and you deserve life.
Yes.
I think you're reading a bit too
it's
much
Christian
in there,
propaganda.
I love Karina's trying to put this into a thing. Yes, yes.
Yes, overall, Karina.
Sounds like we all mostly enjoyed it, sort of. Yes, no. Yeah. Not all.
I did. I quite liked it. 84.
Oh, nice. Shit, we're doing numbers. Fuck.
Yeah. Did say that, right. Like, just a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah, no, I know.
Ratings,
I know.
You know.
I'm just not prepared. What can I tell you?
Okay, right.
I had fun in the movie. When we got out, I'm like, damn, I really liked that. And I tell people that I know that, like, the horror genre, to go and watch it and not watch a trailer, just go in blind and just trust me that it's good. So I'm going to give it an 88.
Not a problem. Peter?
You can have the number, Pete. It's fine. You're allowed to have the number. We're not going to adjust it. Like, we're not going to move the slider when you're not looking.
I mean, no, the chat is thinking that I'm not raging hard against it. I don't think I've been particularly kind to it.
No, I wouldn't say you haven't been raging, but you're also not giving it a free pass.
Basically said it's kind of like I don't think it's any better than the standard Cabin in the Woods slasher. In fact, it's not as good as some of the Cabin in the Woods slashers I've seen recently.
As a big fan of Cabin in the Woods slashers.
Cabin in the Woods slashers have you watched recently, Peter?
Well, like I said, bodies, bodies, bodies. Similar setting.
I haven't seen it. No.
Similar setting, you know, I found more fun than this.
Sure. I haven't actually seen bodies.
No, I'm not being savage because I'm not like mad at it. I'm savage when, like, I would be savage if I thought that it was offensive with the point it was trying to make or something like that. I don't think it was. I just think it was a little heavy-handed and, you know, I didn't find the twists super satisfying. Sure. And I had to watch a lot of extreme violence. So for me, not a lot of fun to be had. So that's a 67.
Okay.
I love the way that it ends on a question mark. 67?
I don't quite know how savage to be with the scores because I'm not saying it's not poorly made. It's nicely made and obviously people are having fun with it and that's what I think that these kinds of films are for. So, like, but just based on my experience, that's the number.
Okay. For me, I'm sorry, Pete, I'm in line with the others a little bit more. I'm in that 80 kind of mark.
I'm not mad.
No, I know. It's for me, it was funny. It had enough to say that I thought was actually quite snarky, and it was nice to hear a bunch of people laughing at the shit guy.
At misogyny.
Yeah, yeah. And hearing a bunch of people in a big room laughing and getting that the guy and his privilege that he didn't see it all, because it wasn't stated overtly. It was just him going, you know, why don't I deserve this? I live in a shit apartment. I do. And all of these things that I'm sure people have said, hearing a room full of people laugh at how fucking ridiculous that sounds was quite nice. So, yeah, it's 86 from me. I enjoyed it quite a lot and have recommended it to other people and will continue to recommend it to other people because I think it's fun.
Sure. Okay, let's go to the clip, which is just these wonderful things of men.
My friends don't hate you.
Your cat does.
Yeah, maybe, but cat hates everybody.
You just don't want to screw everything up.
Come on, Beep-Boop, you're not going to screw everything up. Just relax, you know? Don't be all mopey and weird. Just remember to smile and act happy, okay?
Yeah, that's what happens when you just have to smile and act happy and everything will be fine. Remember to smile more.
You'd be prettier if you smiled more.
You'd be prettier if you smiled more. Ugh.
and watch Jill's face and Peter's face both do the thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Smile at this motherfucker.
Yeah.
No. Nah.
Who watched the Royal Rumble on the weekend?
I didn't.
Who won? Was it King Charles or did Prince William finally?
Did Harry come running down the thing with the chair and take out?
Philip was the dark horse, would you believe?
Isn't he
always? He was eliminated.
Very much believe Philip. Yeah, I think ever since I was a child, whenever I saw Royal Rumble, my first thoughts were always like, why is the royal family fighting?
Fighting?
On TV?
When are they not, is the question.
Yeah, yeah.
And when what's the name, the Queen Regent or whatever her name is, when she rode in on a horse and just started like horse kicking everybody off the stage, it was amazing. Yeah.
No, the only thing.
I mean, the Queen, Charlotte Flair, made her magnificent return. After a year out with an ACL injury, she's back.
Excellent. Was it a good time?
A phenomenal event. It was really good. And like even the filler, like the women's rumble kicked us off. Then we had a tag team championship match with like some really great wrestlers. Then we had a ladder match with my favorite wrestler, Cody Rhodes. And we finished off with the men's rumble. And Cena made it right until the end, but didn't win.
I didn't even realize Cena was still wrestling.
He's back this year. This is his last year until he officially retires after WrestleMania. So, the next event will be Elimination Chamber in March, in which he's going to compete. I think he'll probably win it so that he can go to the finals, like to the main event at WrestleMania. If anybody is interested, it is on Netflix. You can watch it at any time. And they've really marketed it this year to new people coming in. So there's heaps of statistics, lots of numbers. As you watch the Rumble, they give you all of the stats, so you can really come in as a new fan this year to WWE. It was their biggest event to date.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And having it on Netflix has, I'm guessing, increased their viewership by a significant amount.
Definitely.
How many years in the future do you think it's going to be before they start combining the WWE with the WWF? And it's just going to be... adding
the World Wildlife Wrestling Fund.
Roman Reigns fighting a panda.
Yeah, fighting a panda. We're not far away. We're getting another Running Man style show. I was watching something. Reality TV seems to be pervasively getting into my feeds at the moment of things, and I was like, what are they doing? They're doing some sort of deal. That was the thing that I couldn't believe. I saw a Deal of No Deal, all right? Deal or No Deal. Remember that show? The one that you do, like... It's in a studio, and you just hold up a briefcase and stuff, and it's just basically for bored people to win maybe $20. Sure, I get it. It's fine. It's filler TV in between middle of the afternoon kind of stuff. This was a Deal or No Deal, but it was Survivor. Like they were literally doing Survivor challenges, but it was Deal or No Deal. And I'm like, what is going on? These are things that are happening in the world that I don't know about. And sometimes I come out of my little silo bubble of not, and I go, what are you doing? I feel like the from Community, you know, holding the pizza boxes, and I walk into the room and everything's on fire. And I'm like, what is happening? And then I go away again.
Because we're in late stage, like imperial capitalism, where like we're at the you know lions and gladiators stage of the Roman Empire, where decadence and ridiculous wealth inequality was just fucking rampant. And how do you keep people happy? Just provide them with progressively stupider and more violent shit. And this is why that fucking Mr. Beast TV show is continuing to be on TV.
But why?
Okay, Quinny, you know how you said that you watched the Squid Game reality show?
Yes.
I binged it.
I'm shocked and ashamed of it.
I binged it the other weekend.
See? There was gladiators and lions.
I didn't hate it.
I saw another one that was the big one, which is something that's coming out of the UK called The Traitors. And I looked at the whole thing I was watching. And
that's the one with Alan Cumming's that's hosting it.
It's just werewolf with extra steps. I'm like, you're just playing a big game of fucking werewolf.
Anyway. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, okay. I kind of want to watch that now.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to, I'm proudly going to say I'm not going to watch any of that. It's definitely not on my list because we have other things to watch. Or I have other things to watch. We're going to watch A Different Man next week.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is going to be an interesting, different kind of film.
Oh, yay, another thriller.
Is it, though?
I would have said it's a thriller. Really? Isn't it?
That's what it's billed as, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And then probably the Cap of America and then The Gorge, you know, that romantic Valentine's Day treat at the end of the month about protecting Earth from hell.
Yeah.
And falling in love. which is how
See, it's all
going.
About romance in weird ways. This.
Yeah, we've got a red Hulk. He's very romantic.
Oh, yeah.
Roses are red. So is the Hulk.
Yeah.
Look at Harrison Ford. He's been putting on the bulk. I don't know. Yeah.
I did see an interview with him recently, like where there was like, so what's it like to wear? He's like, it's just pulling faces.
Yeah.
Like, excellent.
Excellent, Harrison.
He's embracing this and going, cool, let's just go with it.
Sure, why not? What else? Is anyone else be watching anything fun, exciting?
I just finished watching The Night Agent and The Recruit.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
Night Agent or Night Manager?
Night Agent.
Okay, there must be another one.
Yeah, different one.
Sure, that's okay. I don't know. I can't follow everything. Tell me what I should be watching.
I mean, you can if you want.
I just started watching the new season of The Recruit and then realized that I remembered nothing about the first season.
You kind of need to.
Except that Noah, what's his name? Was just adorable.
Yeah.
But that was my entire was all I had.
I mean it's definitely just background viewing.
Yeah.
It's background TV.
I did watch something that was background viewing. I can't believe that I watched the whole season in a background way, which was American Primeval.
That's like 1600s one or whatever it is.
It's set in this weird timing that they seem to be having, which is American frontier romanticism kind of thing.
It terrible. So not that late.
But it also had in it for the first season Australian film and TV actor Jai Courtney. but I got to say, did not care for it.
I was a bit iffy on it.
I did not care for it. I thought it was just gratuitously violent sometimes violence is a part of the narrative. This one was just like, hey, American frontierism was terrible. And we're just going to make it terrible for no reason and just keep upping the stakes every time because it was going to fuck on everyone forever.
So they're going for like that violent prestige TV kind of thing.
It was, you know, but it's also kind of like this isn't great and you're glossing over a lot of the problems with this and it's just colonialism, which you're not really looking at. It's really white focused and I was like, cool.
I've been meaning to check out The Proposal on Disney Plus. I believe it's got James Marsden in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a drama.
I've watched a couple of them. What's it called again? Sorry?
The Proposal.
The Proposal, right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I watched the first couple of episodes of season 4 of Mythic Quest, which I know you guys hate. I still enjoy.
Don't throw me under that bus, Peter. I stand Mythic Quest.
You two who aren't Dion dislike. But like I still think it's a fun, silly comedy with fun, silly characters that manages to deconstruct the idea of friendship and continues to do so.
Sure. It's a fun comedy. I like it.
Yeah,
there are some characters that I absolutely can't fucking stand in that show, and it's really a barrier for me.
I watched a clip,
and that's valid.
Yeah, I watched a clip of it today that was talking about Poppy and you know, sort of exploring a little bit of that stuff between her and whatever is the lead guy's name.
Ion.
Like Ion's earring.
Yeah, and. Yeah, even just that was enough to make me go, no, I don't want to go back. Because for me to want to join in on season four, I have to go back and probably watch half of season two and all of season three. And I'm not sure that I've got the fucks in me to be given. Not for what I get out of it, which is a lot of frustration. Because I find him incredibly annoying.
It's the kind of the whole point of the character.
Yeah, I know, but this is the reason I didn't watch the fucking Office. You know, I don't particularly like watching annoying characters. I am one. I don't.
Come on, Quinny. There's no annoying character in Parks and Recreation. You'll have a great time watching that.
Wouldn't have a clue.
And the only annoying characters in The Sound of Music are the Nazis, so.
And Maria, apparently.
Yeah. How do you solve a problem like Maria? Yeah. Sit the Nazis on her.
Yeah.
Karina asked if any of us have watched Rivals on Disney Plus. I'll tell you what, I turned it off after 10 minutes.
That was quick.
I'm like, this is not for me.
Not for you. Yeah, I think I got through like two episodes of Rivals, but I can't say it's dragging me back.
I
mean, I'm looking forward to Apple Cider Vinegar that comes out on Netflix on Thursday, I believe, about the Australian health influencer that got into quite a lot of trouble about her naturopathy that was fake.
Yeah.
And her cancer that was fake.
Yeah. Oh, is this the Bill Gibson story?
Yes.
Is it a reality show or a doco or a series?
It's a drama docu-series.
Right.
Yeah, it's dramatized.
Apple Cider Vinegar.
Dromedary. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm
based off the book that was written about the whole thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Interesting.
It's not a factual retelling. It's a dramatized version.
What have you been watching, Pete?
I just a couple of episodes of Severance, a couple of episodes of Mythic Quest, and I went to see a movie on the weekend, which I just kind of panned a bit.
Don't worry, Pete. You can catch up with the four seasons of Shawzy. Shawzy? No, not coming across your radar.
I'm just gonna ignore that because it's obviously Dion just baiting.
No. He's legitimate. So if you watched any of Letterkenny,
Canadian.
The character of Shawzy. I have watched precisely one episode of Letterkenny and none of Shawzy.
It's Canadian Ted Lasso. Like most of the, it's set about a regional Canadian hockey team, like very, very regional, very, very regional, who do it. And it when you look at it, you go, this is just stupid dick and fart joke stuff. But honestly, it's got very progressive understanding and it's very quick. Witted in some of the writing, but you may hate the characters. This is the thing. You may go in there and be like, oh, I can't like any of these people. I'm like, fine, you won't like it then. But after a little while, you're like, wow, this is actually very progressive and very positive masculinity, but it is also about hockey where you beat the fuck out of each other. and that's part of the game. I quite like Shawzy.
All right. Well, maybe I'll put it on a list of things to try.
Yeah, try it out.
Do you know what's become like a really good comfort background watch for me is Taskmaster.
Oh, the Australian one?
No, the UK one. I had completely dismissed it for many years, and eventually someone got me onto it, and I was like, it's actually like entertaining, and kind of like a background comfort watch because you know they become your little comedy friends doing their little tasks and it's fun. Would actually recommend. I've tried watching the Australian one, but the dynamic isn't the same, and I can't quite. It's not the same family. It's not the same comedy family.
Okay.
So my comedy comfort watch is the original, but it's actually a fun little. It's actually fun if you haven't watched it. It's very segmented, so it is kind of good for a background watch because you don't need to, you know, commit. You don't need to fully commit any time to it. You can just kind of watch as many segments as you have time for and let it run.
Nice. Oh, I'm willing to give that a go. The only thing that I've sort of watched, I mean, obviously I'm plowing through Ozark. and which I'm really enjoying. Loving Severance. You know, every new episode of that, I'm like, ooh, things to talk about. Ooh, nice. Gwendolyn Christie. Oh, my God. There's some goats. Sweet. But the only new thing that I've latched onto this week was the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Oh, which, yes. The little animated one.
Yes. So, Peter, you'll hate it.
I don't hate all animations. I just actually, like, the barrier for entry is high for me.
I desperately want you to watch Flow. It's the animated.
See, I thought that looked really interesting.
Yeah, I think you would get an absolute kick out of it. It's delightful. But yeah, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. I've watched two episodes of it. It's a Spider-Man show. The thing I don't love about it is that it's CGI models that are being 2D animated over the top of.
Oh.
So. Like, and they've gone for a look that is very Steve Ditko, like intentionally, specifically Steve Ditko, 60s Spider-Man, but it's set in modern stuff. And the only way that they could obviously do it on the budget they needed to was to have the CGI stuff that they've then just kind of shaded and stuff over the top of. So it feels a little weird and glidey. Yeah, it doesn't have that real lovely, clean 2D animation feel to it, which is a shame, but also who's got the fucking money for doing proper 2D animation these days? Nobody. That's the answer.
We were, yes. Anyway.
Yes.
Was Adsky was asking me, oh, what is the streaming services on for Shawzy? It was on SBS for the first season. And then you have to find it on the internet after that for now, I believe. Yeah, but SBS is a good starter. They had Shawzy.
You can jump on there and see whether you season like one. It.
Yeah.
Two seasons.
Yeah, season one I think it was in there. And then it's through, like, you know, one of those other streaming services that's based in the US that you can access through a VPN if you pay for the streaming service over there.
How many seasons
That's how you
is it?
Do it. Fourth season's just started, I think.
Well, there's three seasons on SBS.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So you got three seasons to catch up in SBS and watch 97 ads in between 3 seconds of footage.
Yeah.
Thanks, the LNP.
Yeah.
They did that. They said the SBS had to make money instead of being free like it used to be. Anyway, I'm not bitter about it at all.
No, not even slightly.
The good fight, Dion. We're going to lose public broadcasting soon.
Are we? No, we don't have to. That's the point. We don't have to lose public broadcasting. There's nothing about that.
We shouldn't.
No, we shouldn't.
We don't want to.
We can say, no, we want public broadcasting. We can say that as a human species, and especially in Australia. Say, we're going to keep it. Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's fight for it. Fight for SBS and ABC and all that stuff.
Sure.
So stop watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Or watch, Married at First Fucking Sight.
Just watch The Hard Quiz. That's on the ABC. Yeah, fight for your public broadcaster. That's what it is. It's not supposed to make money. It's supposed to educate and entertain us. Point. Anyway.
Got political, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Jill's out. No, she's done.
Jill's out. Gone. She's like, fuck this, I'm done.
I'm getting the Oscars playoff music from Jill.
I'm excited. We get the Fantastic Four trailer tomorrow, so that's actually later tonight.
Are you going to wait up?
Well, I'm not staying up.
I'm not staying up either. I'm going to go to bed. Should we go and raid anyone, Quinny? Have you got any of that thing set up?
Oh, let's have a look. See who's out and about. Seeing with a... Barjo, yes, let's go and raid Barjo. It's going to be weird. It always is.
Thankfully, hopefully we'll see you all next time after we go and do that. We're doing a relatively easy month of just movies.
Yes.
Just not trying to watch huge amounts of TV shows.
No. Not trying to back everything up. Just watch what you want. Have a nice February. You know, in the middle there's Valentine's Day. Sounds great. Yeah. Be nice to yourself.
Be kind to yourself.
Yes.
And as many other people as you feel like.
Lovely. Okay. Thanks, everybody. I'm going to start the ride in a second.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
For listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.